Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm so glad you joined me this afternoon. I have Megan Lacefield with me. Welcome, Megan.
Hello.
And Megan is a blogger, and she writes at everydaypearls.org, finding the beauty in timeless treasures in everyday moments. And I love that because it just goes right along with my passion in life, and that's just to share encouragement with others.
I love that. There's nothing more powerful than those seemingly insignificant moments that become the memories that you cherished, and we have to take the time to stop and just to acknowledge them.
Absolutely. Now tell us where you're joining us from.
I'm joining you from Weatherford, Texas, just west of the Fort Worth Metroplex. I've been in the Fort Worth Metroplex my entire life, moved a little west after I got married, been out here for about 20 years.
Awesome. And I have to tell our listeners how we met. Megan and I both won a contest on Kelly Bellari's blog called Fear Fighting, and both of us won a contest to have an appointment with the same publisher. And so just tell us a little bit about your blog and about your writing and about the book that you're trying to get published.
Well, my heart is for family. We can't change our heritage, but we can absolutely influence our legacy. And so I love to write about parenting. Both of my kids are adults now, and so I have permission to share their stories, but I love to challenge parents to really invest. I love talking about marriage. Marriage is an adventure that we get to choose to embrace. I love to talk about friendship. God has such an ordained ministry within friendship with women, and the enemy wants to thwart that and make it so rip that away from us. So I love to just talk about leadership too, because I've been in ministry for 15 years. I have had the opportunity to influence and be influenced by great leaders. So those are just a few of my passions within the idea of cherishing those moments that matter. And I will be writing a book about marriage within the context of a huge transformative journey that my husband and I are on. We were living the American dream to say the least, and God asked us to trade that for simple living and for rest and for a quieter life. And it's kind of been quite the journey to let go of what I thought were my dreams, to grab hold of and follow him into what we know are his.
That is awesome. And now that's sort of the big four targets that the enemy goes after: your children, your marriage, your friendships, your ministry. Do you ever feel like you're walking around with a bullseye on your back?
Absolutely, all the time. Like I said, serving in ministry for 15 years, I think I just became so accustomed to it that I didn't realize that there was an alternative. And in this new season, it's taken a long time for me to really to break busy, to release the hold of activity on my life and really just rekindle the romance of just being in the presence of the Lord and trusting him completely. I know that I have a passion for these things because they're things that, because of the Lord and his grace and his presence in my life, I've learned to fight for them in a way that is healthy and in a way that is life-giving. And so, you know, the enemy's tactics are devious and the enemy's tactics are creative. But the cool thing is when you're walking in godly friendships with a family that is pursuing the Lord, with a husband that is, and you are for him, then there's no way that you can't identify them and attack those head on.
That is awesome. Now, I don't know if you know anything at all about my story, but I had what I call a year of Sabbath rest. And I was the same way. I was just living the American dream, just going 90 miles an hour, doing everything, but neglecting rest and that quiet centeredness that comes with it. And I developed a rare neuromuscular disease and was very, very handicapped for a year. And during that time, I lost a lot of things. I lost my marriage and I lost my career, but I developed deeper friendships and more opportunities for ministry than ever before. And so for me, it came through illness. For you, it came through a radical change of life. So I'd like for you to tell us about that simplicity of life first.
Well, like I said, just living the American dream is such a first world status. And while I don't believe with anything in me, it was for status. It was the Lord had blessed us incredibly, and we had a beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood, perfectly positioned to be a place for people to come. We always said as our kids were growing up, we wanted to have the house the kids wanted to come to. We had plenty of life group get-togethers. We hosted parties for no good reason. It was just, it was a hub of activity and a place for people to come. But it also came with a lot of responsibility. When you add things that bring fun, like swimming pools and big yards and, you know, bigger houses, those have more responsibility. And we just found ourselves in a place where we weren't content with where we were, not because we wanted more as far as size or house, but because we wanted more when it came to what we wanted for our family and for our marriage and for our future. And so kind of in a huge turn of events, within about a month and a half, we had decided to sell our house. We found 20 acres in not far from town that we were able to afford and purchase. We, like I said, we sold our house without ever putting it on the market. This would be our third house we've ever moved out of that we never put on the market. I decided to resign from my ministry position that I thought I'd be at forever, and I had served at for 15 years so that I could be a stay-at-home mom. But mine, my kids are 21 and 18, so the irony and the hilarity of God in that I was a stay-at-home mom with adult children. So, and then my son finished high school, my daughter graduated college, and my husband business. So we had like this huge fruit basket turnover that we laid down so many things so that we could pick up what God wanted for us in this new season. And us in return is so sweet. It doesn't sound like a big deal. We have simplified everything from the area of finances to responsibilities. Although we have a lot of land, the work that it requires to maintain the land and take care of what we have now is life-giving work versus life-depleting work. Both of my adult children are living with us in a little 1,500 square foot farmhouse that we remodeled in 34 days so that we could move into it. And to me, that's a huge celebratory moment, because I always said redefining success as a parent isn't to have perfect children, but to have kids who want to come back home when it's their choice. And to have two kids who choose to live with us in this whole new adventure, that's a blessing. Family dinners have been redeemed. Time at home has been sweet. Those are all things that we put on the back burner for busyness and activity and just the lifestyle that we were living.
I love that you're a stay-at-home mom to grown children. That is so, like you said, it's ironic, but it's cool. And I think so many times we trade God's best for the good things that the world has to offer. And I love how you describe it as life-giving rather than life-depleting, because so many of the activities that we do, and I'm the same way. I have a big yard and a house, and I'm the same way. I want to use it for ministry. I'm having my Sunday school class over Sunday, and I don't have any kids at home. I live by myself, but I'm having my Sunday school class. They're all way younger than me. They've got 20 or 30 kids that'll be here hunting Easter eggs, and I just love it. But you're right. I mean, it is more work. It is.
It is. It's been funny. I've had to sacrifice a few staff to closet. 36 inches of closet right now, so that's a whole new adventure in and of itself. My husband loved me pretty much. He built me a closet in the garage.
Now, what you did was pretty radical, selling your home, moving to a farm. What I did was mandated. But what would you recommend for the average person that can't transition to become a stay-at-home mom, that can't sell their house and move to a different place? Are there practical tools that you recommend to just simplify life in general?
Sitting in the seat that I'm in, walking in the season that I'm walking in, if I hadn't taken small steps along the way. So my challenge, what I believe more than anything, is we have to know dream has always been to be a stay-at-home grandma and monogram everything, but more than that, to have a home that my kids want to come back to, that to have a marriage that is strong after my kids are gone, that we aren't so rooted and established in parenting that we forget who each other are. So we've taken small steps that have gotten us to this point. If we hadn't been pursuing God, if we hadn't been pursuing intimacy, if we hadn't been talking about our dreams, we never would have gotten to this place where God asked us to take the big steps.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. The way God does plant dreams inside of us. And sometimes he doesn't bring those dreams to fruition until many, many years later. But hang on to those. I mean, that's what I would just encourage our listeners to do, is hang on to those dreams that maybe God put in you as a child and they've never been realized. That doesn't mean you're supposed to let go of them. And I love the way you intentionally seek after that, even if it's just a little baby step here or there, like changing your closet. I mean, I think organizing your closet is so freeing, and the simplicity of giving things away and getting rid of the clutter in our life, not only in our homes, but in our minds and in our activities.
Absolutely. You know, what I would say above all else, so many times, even in marriage or in our families, we aren't on the same page even with our dreams. Like, I might have a dream for something that feels a completely different direction than what my husband has a dream for. And what was cool is that while I thought it was my dream to stay in the house that we had been in forever because I wanted my kids to bring to the home that they grew up in, my husband's dream, when he shared that with me, something in my heart settled, and I was willing to let go and release what I thought was my dream to pursue what I knew was his, that God put in since he was a little boy. But if you'd have asked me to do that about a year and a half ago, I probably wouldn't have been as willing, because God had been working on me up until this point to prepare my heart, to prepare me for this. So I think it's just about obedience, and it's about surrender. When we walk in obedience, breakthrough happens. When we walk in obedience, it affects so many people around us. So my following his dreams was a step of obedience, because I love my husband and I love what I know God wants to do in and through us. And so I had no choice but to say yes, because God has proven it faithful time and time again. Even in the hard stuff, I can see God's provision and God's protection in that. So I know on the other side of this, even if there's parts that are hard, and there have been parts that are hard, especially for me, I just want a bathtub so I can take a bath at night. I don't have a bath right now, but I'm trusting that somewhere on the other side of this, I'm going to get a new bathtub. So.
Okay, that's a big deal, because you're talking my language now.
I know.
But don't you think also that God... We have a little bit of a difficult connection here, but don't you think also that God uses the waiting time before he fulfills our dream to prepare us for the next season? Have you seen that in your life?
Absolutely. We were in a completely different season. Even just 6 months ago, my daughter was going to college. My son was busy all the time. My husband and I had a whole lot of time, just the two of us, and we're like, I don't know if we're ready for this, for all this time, just the two of us, but it also solidified our relationship. It gave us time to talk and to connect and to be intentional with what we've been given, but also just to be real with each other, because the more time we get to spend together, the more opportunities that we have for real conversations to happen. And it's through some of those real conversations that we got to know each other's hearts, so that when we share a dream or we share a frustration, it doesn't fall to the wayside. We take it to heart because we know each other more intimately, because we've spent time investing in conversation and talking to and hearing from each other. And so I know that the seasons that we've been in, it's, you know, and for me, where it comes to the season of simplicity and rest, like, I had to be so busy, and it wasn't about my time even. It was about the mental space and the ability to process and to think through and to have the emotional and mental space that my family deserved. It took me really evaluating, and that took time, because we live in such a society of go, 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 and you just go from one thing to the next, and you don't really take just recognizing that I was emotionally and mentally depleted, and I just needed space. And so God has opened the door for that space to happen.
That is so beautiful, because, and I'm just going to confess to our listeners what I told you before we came on the air. We were trying to make this connection, and I was running back and forth to work. I've got many hats that I wear. I had a national speaking engagement this weekend, got in late last night, went to work, was trying to make some arrangements over the phone, and I was multitasking like to the nth degree, and then here we are talking about being emotionally and mentally present and just simplification and slowing down. But I think that the most important thing is that you have to be present in the moment. I know a lot of people have asked me how I juggled family and career and hobbies and all that kind of thing. And I'm a big compartmentalizer. And so if I was at work, I was thinking about work. And if I was at home, I was thinking about home. And I think to just be present where you are, because it's so easy to be distracted by all of the busyness that society demands from us.
Absolutely. And that's one of actually my favorite quotes, be present in the present. And, you know, another one is wherever you are, be all there. So I make a conscious effort because while I don't live with regret, I live with reminders of how I spoke with my kids when they were younger. How many times they said, Mom, put down your phone, or Mom, we're right here. Because in ministry, it doesn't really stop at 5 when you leave work, as with many jobs. So I would think about work while I was at work, and then I think about work when I was picking up the kids in the carpool line, and I would think about work when I was at home fixing dinner. And so I think about all the opportunities I robbed myself and my kids of. And like I said, I don't live with regret. I live with the reminder that each day I'm given an opportunity and to capitalize on the moments that we have, because moments matter. It's a lot of littles make a big, and so it's those small, seemingly insignificant moments that end up being the memories that we carry with us for a lifetime.
That is so true. Our church recently moved into a new sanctuary, and on the final day that we were in our old sanctuary, they just asked you to remember the moments. And the things that came back to me, I mean, yes, the kids' baptisms and things like that, but it was just the little choir programs when my 4-year-old was up there. And at that season of my life, I was worried about whether or not his shirt was tucked in, and just going to candlelight services at our church and somebody's hair catching on fire. But it's those little moments that I remembered and treasured even more than the big moments, because I think in the big moments you have high expectations, but the little moments you can almost savor.
Absolutely. And that's really what I encourage couples to do. It's what I encourage my friends to do, is to really just take those moments, those little ones, those ones that might not mean anything to anybody else, but they are precious and priceless to you. One of my most recent moments, one of those everyday pearls, is that my son grew up watching Power Rangers. He loved the Power Rangers. He lived the Power Rangers. He had everything led the Power Ranger that ever came out. And we actually don't have TV at our farmhouse, but I was out of town last week, and I saw a preview for the Power Ranger movie. So I planned a fun date night, and he's 18, mind you. I planned a date night for us to go see Power Rangers, and I didn't tell him what we were doing. And the Lord is so sweet. I went to Walmart, my daughter and I went to Walmart to buy him a Power Ranger to give to him when I told him what we were doing. And there was a then and now package of Power Rangers. So it was the Power Ranger that he played with as a little boy compared to the new Power Ranger that came out with the new movie. We went to the movie, and it was one of those moments that I will not trade for anything. First of all, I was so excited about it. Second of all, he embraced me and my excitement, and he enjoyed the night. And we just had a great time together, and it was a sweet reminder of just how important it is to date our sons, but also how important it is to remember them as the little boys that they were, who just shed love and light on us. We were trying to decide what we were going to do for dinner. I was like, okay, so 4-year-old Riley would want to go to Taco Bueno, 5-year-old Riley would want to go to McDonald's, 7-year-old Riley would want to go to On the Border, and that's where we ended up. But it was just a sweet moment to remember those moments that have shaped him into the man that he is today, and just to really celebrate him.
I think that is probably the very most perfect example of an everyday pearl that you could possibly think of. And I have that kind of relationship with my son. My son is 23. I won't say that they always give me their permission to share about them, but if it's something big, like I reshared a blog post today on my Facebook page that kind of had a little bit of personal information about my son. He had a seizure a couple of years ago, and it really kind of rocked our world. And before I share something like that, certainly I got his permission. But for everyday conversations, I don't always. But I know if it's going to be a big thing, I need to. But I have that relationship with him that we would just reminisce over something like that. And it is such a treasure, such a treasure. And one thing I want to come back to, I was thinking about when you were talking about your house and about your life and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I think that we get focused on the big oyster and forget the valuable little pearl. And it's so easy to do that. Life demands it of us. And I love the Power Ranger example because I think that is just a beautiful example of a pearl.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what I love about a pearl more than anything is that it's created from a piece of dust, a piece of dirt. It's an irritant. It's something that's somewhere it's not supposed to be, but it's turned into something beautiful. And so I love to not just find my pearls in the good things, but in the hard things, because we all walk through hard things in our lives. My hard thing is different than your hard thing. I can't compare my hard thing to your thing, and I can't discredit my hardships because they don't seem as hard as yours, because it's God takes that piece of dirt, that hard thing, and creates something beautiful out of it. And he strengthens us, and he molds us, and he shapes us, and he refines us through those hard things that we get to walk through. So those are just as much our pearls as the really good, you know, fun to tell stories.
I love that comparison thing too, because I think so many times, I mean, some people look at their lives and say, oh, whoa, poor is me, you know, and then other times they look at their struggles and think, well, I don't have any right to talk about my struggles because yours are so bad. Our struggles are our struggles. And we're all struggling. We're struggling more than we put on. And we're struggling more than anybody else knows. Sometimes they're just internal. But they're important. They're important to God. And he's using them for his good and for his glory if we let him.
Absolutely. And that's the key. If we let him, if we take the time to reflect, my favorite passage is in the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we have a responsibility. Before he can ever lead us, we have to let him search us and to know us, to know our anxious thoughts, to see what's offensive in us. And we hear the word offensive and we think, well, I'm not, and we fill in the blank for all the really bad sins. But my jealousy or my pride just as offensive to the Lord as theft and murder and all of those really bad things you hear about. And so I get the responsibility of allowing God to search me so that he can lead me. And when he searches us and when he shows us something, it's not always fun, but it's always beautiful. I can't think of a single sin in my life that the Lord has revealed that hasn't turned out beautiful, because he's a good God, a forgiving God, and he's ready and willing and waiting.
You know, that's the greatest miracle of all.
Absolutely.
If he can take our sin and turn it into something beautiful, that is the hope that we live with that the world does not live with. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, because he does take our difficulties and turn them into beautiful things.
Yeah.
Well, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and connect with you online.
Well, I would love to connect. I'm on Facebook at Megan Lacefield, and Everyday Pearls actually has a page as well. If you want to keep up with the farmhouse venture, is our what we call our little adventure that we're on, because a venture is something that you step into that has a little bit of risk to it. So you can follow Farmhouse Venture on Instagram and see all of the updates on the 1927 farmhouse that we've remodeled and all of the life that we've added to our farm. We have no pigs, just kidding. We have horses, we have cows, we have ducks, we have chickens, and lots of life happening over at the farm. And as well as Megan Lacefield on Instagram and Twitter. So I would love to connect with you. I blog at everydaypearls.org, and I share about friendship, family, faith, marriage, and about our farmhouse, of course. So I would love to see you over there as well.
And I will definitely put all those links on this podcast, but just tell me this. Will you put a picture of your bathtub on Instagram when you get it?
I sure will. I absolutely will. I can put a picture of what's supposed to be my bathtub now that sits a little crooked and is always, always full of kids and dog's hair.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. It's been wonderful.
Absolutely honored to be with you guys. Excited about what God's doing in and through your ministry, Vicki. Thank you so much.
Thank you.